Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will be considering verses 12 through 15 this afternoon. But before we hear the reading and preaching of God's Word, let's go before Him once again in prayer. Father, as we come now to consider Your Word, we pray that Your Spirit would be at work and open our hearts and minds to Your truth. We pray that You would seed it deeply in our hearts, that we would be quick to listen, quick to obey. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Hear now the very word of God. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Well, congregation of the Lord, last week we considered some of our duties as we walk through the battlefield of this life. We are to watch and be sober. We are to live spiritually alert and be ready for the day of the Lord. And how we live now should be affected by our view of that day to come. And further, we aren't to walk spiritually vulnerable, but as those who are equipped with the whole armor of God. And Paul taught us about the protective functions of the three graces of faith, hope, and love. And we've been instructed to wear the breastplate of faith and love, as well as a helmet, the very hope of our salvation. And so Paul starts to conclude his letter here, after teaching us those wonderful things, with some final exhortations. Particularly in verses 12 through 15, we find his encouragement to esteem the ministers and elders of the church, as well as serve and help one another in the body well. Paul knew that they were having some struggles. He knew that he could help them by sending this letter and that the Lord would bless and would be at work in them through his ministry. However, they also needed to help one another, even as he taught them. And so Paul exhorts them in verses 12 through 13 concerning their overseers. And in verses 14 and 15, he gives them instruction on mutual encouragement in their relationships with each other. What Paul informs them of is that they have leaders that they are to relate to in a certain way. And they also walk in covenant relationship with each other as the body of Christ. And so they were all supposed to help each other as members in that body. They were to help each other not only physically and materially, but also spiritually, with words of encouragement, strengthening one another, as well as giving rebuke and warning when needed. And so in verses 12 through 13, Paul begins by saying, recognize and esteem your elders. In these two verses, we can identify certain phrases that tell us the certain duties of ministers and elders toward the people. We can also see the duties of the congregation toward their leadership. In other words, there are mutual duties. And as we consider these, let's first look at the duties of the leadership toward the people. Verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And so, what is the first duty of ministers and elders towards their flocks? Well, in verse 12, Paul says that they are those who labor among the people. And this word labor isn't a word that can be translated work. This word is much stronger than just having a desk job. It refers to laboring to weariness, to feeling fatigue from your work. Matthew Poole said it well when he talked about the word being the word for labor here, communicating diligent labor, causing weariness, as is used in 1 Timothy 5:17, where Paul told Timothy about those who labor in word and doctrine, which shows both, number one, the nature of the work of the ministry, and that being that it's laborious. But secondly, the duty of the ministers therein, not to seek the honor and profit of the office, but refuse the labor of it. And so ministers and elders shouldn't step into office thinking that their work will be easy, and nor should they refuse it when it's hard. Let me say that again. Ministers and elders shouldn't step into office thinking that their work will be easy, nor should they refuse it when it's hard. And this is important for us even now as a congregation. It's important for all churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even now for us at NBOPC, as we have men who are going through officer training and some who are seeking the office of elder, we need to be mindful, and you men need to be mindful of this very thing. True ministers and elders aren't hirelings like those Jesus spoke of in John 10. No, true elders are good shepherds. They don't flee when they see the wolves coming, but rather they stand up against the wolves, ward them off, protect the flock. They don't cower when affliction and persecution come against God's people, but rather they stand by the grace of God to comfort, to support, to encourage, to further the people in the church. True elders have a strong desire to see Christ's lambs stay healthy and grow. They are committed to feeding them with the word. They are willing to roll up their sleeves and step into the mud and the mess, to bind up wounds, to guide and to direct in all wisdom and humility, pointing the people to Jesus. Indeed, true shepherds look at serving and say something like, it may be hard and wearisome, but this is what I am called to do. The Lord is working in and through me and blessing me in this. I must do it and serve with my whole heart. But notice also what Paul said to the saints in Thessalonica about these men. Notice that elders are men who labor among the people. Elders aren't aloof. They aren't far off. They are close by. They are in and amongst the body. Elders are raised up by God from among the congregation and are called to lead, shepherd, and nurture and govern the flock as they labor among the people. But we are also told that elders are over us. Literally, they rule or they have charge over us. This is the same word used in 1 Timothy 3:5 in reference to elders there. However, note that Paul says that they are over you in the Lord, and that's important. They are over you in the Lord. Paul qualifies this rule and leadership to be in the Lord. In other words, the authority doesn't originate with the elder. It originates with God. The elder is just a vehicle of that rule. Paul is saying that elders are to lord it over the people, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5:3, but rather they are to rule or to lead as servants and stewards. Paul told Titus in Titus 1:7, for a bishop or overseer must be blameless as a steward of God. Remember, you aren't members of the elders' church. This is Christ's church. Elders are under shepherds, not the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his life to save his flock. God, in his infinite wisdom and care, didn't save us to be in isolation, but brought us into a beautiful covenant relationship with himself and brought us into the family of God, made us a part of his bride, the church. And he has called and raised up men to serve his flock as overseers, to care for and to nurture his people. And yet we are but servants and stewards on the king's errand, carrying out the king's call, serving the king and his people. And so how wonderful Jesus is in every way, but especially here as he leads and as he governs and as he provides and cares for his people, in appointing and working through those who labor and rule over us in the Lord. But these men are also those who admonish. The labor of elders involves teaching. The Greek word for admonish literally means to instruct, to counsel, or to put in one's mind. In other words, one of our duties as elders is to teach and to remind you of things that you need to know in the Word of God for your Christian life. Sometimes repeating things that you've heard before due to the tendencies of our brains being like sand going through a sieve at times. We need to be reminded individually, and we also need to remind each other of things as well. You know, this is one of the benefits and the necessities of Christians sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word. As pastors and elders are called to admonish, it is good and right for you to be willing and to have the desire to be admonished, to be taught and instructed and nurtured from the Word of God. And this is important. For sometimes the instruction is being transmitted, but the receiver isn't turned on. We need to regularly pray that God would keep our hearts and minds open to desire and to receive the implanted Word. And Paul also spoke about admonishing to the church in Rome, telling them that he believes that they had matured. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, he said, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And so he tells this church that in general, they had gotten to a level of maturity, that they were full of goodness and knowledge. Were they perfect? Had they reached the top? No, far from it. But the Lord had blessed them. The Lord had worked in them. The Lord was sanctifying them by His Spirit. They were growing in grace, and they had gained ground in knowledge. This is similar to Ephesians 4, when Paul teaches us about speaking the truth in love. You know, if we speak the truth without love, That's a problem. If we speak love without truth, that's likewise a problem. However, God in His mercy teaches us how to speak the truth in love and to truly edify and to help each other. And so Paul says that there was a unique and a primary duty of elders to admonish as part of their duties, as part of their labor among the people. But what are the duties of the people towards the elders? Well, in verse 12, the people should recognize or know their elders, Paul says. As the shepherd should know his flock, so the sheep must know their shepherds. Remember, Jesus said in John 10 about how he knows his sheep and they know him. They hear his voice. And this recognizing or knowing that Paul speaks of is speaking about a bond and a relationship. God's people aren't just to know who their elders are by reading their names on the back of a bulletin or on a website. Yeah, I've heard that guy's name somewhere, but I don't really know him. No, they are to know their pastor and elders by having a relationship with them. And it's a very important relationship. But Paul goes on to say in verse 13 that members are to esteem them very highly in love. There's a tendency and a temptation to esteem ourselves better than others. And here Paul says that we are to esteem our elders. We are to give them respect, in other words. And there may have been some in Thessalonica who weren't doing this or who struggled with doing this. But elders are to be esteemed or respected highly and note in love. As elders labor in love, which really in many ways, in most and every way, our work and our labor is out of love. Love for God, love for our Lord Jesus Christ, and love for His people. And so as elders labor in love, the response of the people should be to give them much respect in love as well. Greatly value their office and ministry. Show respect and affection in all proper ways. For their service, their work is to promote the honor of Christ and the welfare of men's souls. Scripture speaks to the reality about how elders are those who watch after your souls. But Paul then says, be at peace among yourselves. Part of your duty to elders and even in general is don't fuss among yourselves. Don't be in a place of unrest or let unrest fester or rule the day in a congregation. Children, when you have arguments or fights with your brothers or sisters, have you ever thought that not only are you sinning against your brothers and sisters and sinning against the Lord who has commanded you to do otherwise, but you're also making things more difficult in terms of the peace of the home? Here we're talking about the peace of the church. And it appears that Paul is saying that being at peace amongst yourselves is part of the duty to elders, but it's also part of your duty to your brothers and sisters, as well as, most importantly, to God. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. It's an interesting verse to meditate on. Mark 9:50. The season and the saltiness of salt and being salty, coupled with the instruction of being at peace with one another. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about holiness and peace and joy. And therefore, Paul goes on to say in verses 18 and 19, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. My friends, we are to be about the business of being peacemakers, being those who maintain peace, being those who promote peace, who are quick to resolve conflict, to bring about and to restore peace by the grace of God. For our desire should be that we edify one another, that we build one another up in the Lord, that we build one another up in the gospel and in His word, not tear each other down, or not let strife grow and tear us apart. Remember, if we are at peace with one another, we will be more helpful to each other. We will be building one another up. And when we are at peace with each other, growth happens in ways that we couldn't understand or see when we were in conflict with each other. And so Paul expands on this and he puts some more meat to the bones in verses 14 and 15. Where he talks about and gives exhortations regarding mutually encouraging each other. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. The saints in Thessalonica needed to be committed to mutual instruction and encouragement of each other, and so do we here at New Braunfels OPC. The Lord has blessed us with wonderful bonds of relationship and unity in this body, both individually and even interconnectedly as individuals and families and as a congregation. But nonetheless, we must continue to have, by the grace of God, a commitment to mutual instruction and encouragement with each other. And Paul here describes three categories of people in the church that the congregation needs to be mindful of and care for. Notice that. First, the unruly. Second, the faint-hearted. Third, the weak. And notice for each one of these groups, Paul recommends a different treatment to address their problem and to be of help to them. And as we look at these, I want you to also know that these are commands. These are imperatives. And that means that these are things that we must do. And so they were to warn those who are unruly. And in order for people to warn or to admonish or to instruct others, they need to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures as well as be in a right place and a relationship to warn those who are unruly. But who are the unruly? What does he mean by that? Literally, unruly means those who are insubordinate or idle. This word is a kind of a military term describing a soldier who, as the 1599 Geneva Bible comments, they keep not their rank or standing. That's what they look like. That's what they act like. They don't keep their rank or standing. They're insubordinate. They have broken rank. They may be lazy. They may be people who aren't seeking peace or unity in the body, but are rather disrupting it. And so we are to instruct them according to the truths in the Word of God, praying that God will help them to return to being orderly within the body. But they are to be warned, they are to be taught, they are to be instructed. We come alongside. It isn't just an isolation part. It isn't a, man, I'm going to stay away from them, or they just need to get out of here, actually. No, we need to come alongside, and we need to warn and love and instruct them according to the principles and truths of God, that they would indeed come back to a place of maintaining and keeping the peace, of being orderly in the body of Christ. But note also, secondly, with the faint-hearted, what does he say? Comfort them. Comfort them. In other words, we are to encourage the discouraged. We are to encourage the discouraged. There are people in the church who are weary and need to be comforted. And sometimes, honestly, my friends, we may not feel very comfortable with the deeper aspects of that. Some of us may feel okay going and giving a hug or saying, I'm sorry, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you, and that is all wonderful. And if that's all you know how to do and feel comfortable with, that's great. There are some people who need deeper comfort than that. There are some people who have deep wounds, have been weary for a long time. We don't need to despise them, but we need to comfort them with the comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ. The comfort that comes from His gospel. The comfort that comes from the healing that only He can provide. The comfort that comes to the deep places of the heart and restore lives that people thought were lost, destined for despair and doom. But also for the weak, what do we need to do there? We need to support. The weak here literally means those without strength. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ who have heavy burdens. We are to support them. Literally, we are to exercise zealous care for them. We are to hold firmly to them, to hold them up, coming alongside, putting our shoulders under theirs, walking the journey with them through the valleys and the mountaintops. And now consider this. All three of the actions are ones that the Greek voice of these words tell us that we will also take benefit as we do these things. It's a beautiful aspect of the Greek language that doesn't quite come through in English. But it's there. As we are doing these things, things that God calls us to do, He commands us to do this one anothering within the body, that He blesses us. We benefit from that. We are encouraged by that. He blesses us in that. So warning and comforting and supporting. Keep these things in mind and in practice in the days ahead. But notice all, he says, be patient with all. Be patient with all. My friends, we can't expect quick results, even in these groups of people that we've just considered. The weak, the faint-hearted, the unruly. But even with all others, that is true. We shouldn't get frustrated thinking nothing is changing. Just ready to throw up my hands. Don't know what else to do. Well, it's not about you. It's about being faithful. Being obedient to your God. Doing what He says to do, when He says to do it. And leaving the fruit the timing, the outcomes to Him and His will. But don't let not seeing change according to your time schedule or expectations derail you or delay you for being obedient to what God says to do. Keep doing it with your whole heart. So we need to pray. We need to pray for and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be patient with them, long-suffering. And notice verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Retaliation is not in the picture here. We need to be careful that we don't do that or try to do that against those that may hurt us. We're a bunch of sinners. We're going to offend each other and we're going to upset each other often in this journey together. But that's not how we should respond when we're hurt. We need to overcome evil with good, both inside and outside of the church. And further, we need to pursue what is good for ourselves and others. Remember Philippians 2:4. We are to look out for our own interests, but not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. Pursuing what is good must be a focus. And so I'll leave you with this. Remember that relationships are important. They're of vital importance, especially those within the church. Examine your hearts. Consider your relationship first and foremost with your Lord, with your God. But also consider your relationships with His people. See in these four verses the need for oversight. Even Christ's wonderful and beautiful design for His church and the work through that oversight. The good shepherd working in and through His under-shepherds. We also need to see that we need to be admonished as well as the need for mutual admonishment, mutual instruction and teaching. For we don't see our own conditions and our own issues very well. We all have blind spots. We have different conditions. And sometimes we may be insubordinate or idle. Sometimes we are faint-hearted. Sometimes we are weak and we need one another's help in dealing with those conditions as the Lord is working in and amongst us. And these are good reasons as to why we need one another, why we need good and godly elders. And this is why God has set expectations on the duties of elders towards members and members towards their elders. This is why God has set expectations about mutually encouraging one another. We haven't been saved and placed in isolation. But we are members of the glorious and beautiful body of Christ. And we all need guidance and help. We need His help. We need His guidance. And we all need to be faithful in our various duties. So I ask you, think about this. Do you know your pastor and elders? Do you see how they are to work and serve? Do you see your need to respect them and to esteem them highly in love? And are you willing to step forward, to care for, and to help your brothers and sisters today? Start with those sitting all around you here. Indeed, may God grant our pastor, our elders, grace to lead, to shepherd, to love, to nurture well. May He also grant us all grace to warn and to comfort and to support and to be patient with and to help one another as He has commanded us to do. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.